Hello, everyone, and welcome to our, well, I don't know if this is going to be our first origin story, but we are doing a set of origin stories for each of our cast members for their characters in our Daggerheart, The Last Arcanist campaign. I have with me today a very special cast member here, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Dakota. I use she, they pronouns. You probably know me from another Dicecape show. I play Ruthie in Fallout Garden of Adam. I also help out with social media here for Dicecape. You can find me on the Stranger Guild's Soulbound, as well as Dice Rolls Can Kill. And you can find me on most social media platforms at Western Dakota, sometimes with a dot, sometimes with an underscore.
Awesome. And I forget to introduce myself. I'm Kylie Rose, the storyteller here for this campaign. Also head storyteller at Dicecape, producer, and all the other things that need to be done. I tend to dabble in those. Editor, you know, just all kinds of hats. But with that said, we're really excited to bring this new show to you. This is something that we've been wanting to do for some of our other shows, but we finally have an opportunity to dive into some of these origin stories and give the viewers a bit of a look back at these characters' lives before the events that kickstart the campaign. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in. Wind. It carries the faint scent of smoke upon it as it weaves through the whispering woods where thousands of ancient trees reside, their trunks twisting like serpents as they stretch for the light beyond the canopy, the smoke here leaving a mystery at what its source is. A trained druid or ranger could distinguish the varying scents of smoke, a sweetness to one used for warmth, a sharp spice for smoke that rises from a meal being prepared. But this scent, it carries an acrid stench to it, causing nostrils to flare. This smoke comes from chaos and death unfolding. As the smoke grows more dense, the thick canopy trapping its escape, we see this haze fall upon the moss-covered forest floor. Soot carried by the winds start to set. Yet in that moment, there are the sound of soft footsteps as a group of figures approach the area. An alertness to them. Children of the Whispering Woods returning to their home from their travels to find the place they grew up being ravaged by some malevolent force. Standing amongst this group here is a young woman. Dakota, could you describe what we see?
Yeah, so Eleanor stands at about 5'7", 5'8". She's not very tall. She's fairly lanky, kind of what you would expect out of a half-elf. She's got very long golden blonde hair that is currently done in a bunch of different intricate braids that then meet into one braid. Bright golden eyes as if like the sun itself had just placed themselves within her pupils. She's very freckled and she wears what you would expect out of more a ranger than a druid. Lots of browns and greens, leathers. And she stands ready with her longbow in hand, just sort of taking in the sights and the smells of the area around them.
As you take these scents and smells in, Eleanor, we would see standing next to you three other individuals. Friends that you've met along the way. You all returning from your time spent in the Ayana Grove. With you is Halthir, an elven man dressed in weathered green cloak, pale ivory-colored skin with dark brown eyes, and long black hair that is half up, half down. At first glance, when you look at him, his frame is slender, but when push comes to shove, Healthier is probably one of the strongest physically in the group. Zaya, we see this human woman. She's tall and wiry, emerald green eyes, with almond colored skin. She's dressed in simple traveler clothing, leather armor. She's someone that always seems to have her head on a swivel. And then there's Avarius, this half-elven man dressed in a brown robe with touches of gold embroidery with overlapping V shapes. His eyes are a freckled hazel color and bronze skin. He has a smile like no other and a softness to him that invites even the most guarded to open up. As you all take in the sight, the sounds, the smells, this tension that is palpable in the air right now, as the smoke continues to build around you, Avarius steps forward, standing next to you, Eleanor, his hand resting on top of his quarterstaff. Seems the word we have received is true. Whomever did this, we have to stop them.
Why? I'm just fumbling at the idea as to why. We don't know motivation. Nobody here was a part of any cult or militant group. The only thing I can think of is raiders simply doing this because they think it's funny.
Well, that is true. Then it is our duty to this place, our home, to make sure it is stopped. But perhaps we can gather some more information ahead.
It might be best to investigate. Maybe they left something behind, or maybe there are survivors that we can question and see if we can help.
He nods. And as you say that, Eleanor, we're going to make our first roll here. As you look to gather information in this moment, as you look around the ground, trying to pick up on scents, smells, hearing, I'm going to say in this moment, this is where that instinct would come in. Your time spent out in the woods, traveling. So walk us through, what does it look like as Eleanor tries to glean information in this moment, in this habitat?
For her, it's kind of like engaging the five senses and doing it in a way that like gives each one a moment to sort of shine, for lack of a better term. I think she kind of kneels down and she feels the ground beneath her, trying to like see if she can tell anything from the charcoal that has started to sort of like land and settle on the moss and the vines that make the forest floor. And in doing so, while touching, she's just kind of like inhaling and exhaling the scent of trees and smoke, and kind of trying to pick up on the certain notes of the smoke. Because like you had stated at the beginning, smoke smells differently depending on what exactly is burning. And then from there, can I tell what kind of smoke it is? Because even the density and the color of smoke changes based on what is burning. So is it darker, more black to indicate, you know, wood and something more fresh? Or is it grayer to indicate something that is already decayed? And then from there, it's shutting her eyes and just letting her ears pick up on the sounds of the forest, any other footsteps, crying, any cackling of fire that may or may not still be consuming everything in its path.
Awesome. Okay. So as you do that, go ahead and make a instinct roll for me. And I would say that one of your experiences would come into play here. So you can add that bonus to your roll.
Oh, okay. So it's a good roll, but it's also not a roll. That is a 10 plus. So that is a 14 with fear.
14 with fear. Okay, amazing. Mm-hmm. So as you take this all in, using those five senses, you can tell that the smoke is darker. It seems relatively recent that this has happened. You hear, as you place your hand to the ground, you listen, you feel a slight vibration in the ground, a large group of people moving. It's hard to tell if it is people from that settlement nearby, or is it the forces that did this?
Mm-hmm.
In addition, I think you would also know that the location you believe that this source is coming from in this moment is where Zaya would have grown up. And as you take that in, there's also this idea of where are they heading next, but it's unclear. You can't quite pick up. Well, you know that it is relatively fresh, and that gives some information that who did this is likely nearby. It's hard to tell who those footsteps are in this moment, going in that direction.
Would I be able to use my gifted tracker ability in this moment to ask you a question about them?
Yeah, if you want to spend hope. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got enough hope. I'll do that.
Yeah. So make a, to track DM question, do you... Yeah, so, and we'll actually say these out loud so people know exactly what these abilities are, since we're all kind of, Daggerheart's a new system, so people are learning. So I'll actually let you go ahead and tell the audience what this ability for Eleanor is in this moment.
Okay, so gifted tracker, make a spellcast roll to track make a spellcast roll to track or ask the GM one question you'd be able to learn about a specific creature or group of creatures based on signs of their passage. If you spend a hope when you do, take advantage on the roll. If you encounter any creatures you've tracked, your evasion against them becomes a +1. So if we do end up encountering them, that would be very helpful.
That would be very helpful for you. Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. So go ahead and make a spell casting run. If you want to spend one of your hope, this would be a great time to do that.
I'm gonna spend that hope just to be safe, okay, to get that advantage.
Yeah.
Ooh. That is double ones on the die.
Oh my God, that's a crit. That's a crit. And you get a hope die back. You get your hope back.
Yeah.
Amazing. So you crit on that roll. Okay. So what is a question you would like to ask in this moment?
I think upon feeling the vibration, the next thing she would do is start to sort of see if she can find any tracks. This is not my question. This is more a clarifying question for myself before I ask my question. What season is it?
I would say that it's probably end of summer, early fall. I would say early fall right now.
Okay. So then like the mud would probably still be kind of wet and thick a little bit.
Yeah, I would say that there is some of that as there tends to be, it's getting a little cooler at night. So there's like leaving a little bit of frost, and then that kind of melting throughout the day would leave a little bit more of wet ground. The moss kind of being a little bit more spongy, you could say, in this moment as well.
Would I... As I'm sort of like feeling the ground, sort of going about, would I be able to tell the number of individuals that are in this group moving?
Yeah, yeah. As you look to the ground and the matted earth, there are a few hundred.
Okay. Cool. No doubt.
Yeah, with the weight of that is, I think knowing that with absolute, and I would say with a crit, I would say there's probably about 300 to 400. I'll say like, yeah, about 300.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Upon assessing that, Eleanor is immediately going to stand and face her group.
Mm-hmm.
Her sort of like calm demeanor is definitely cracking. She's not one, I would say, unlike a certain other character that I play, she is not one to try and keep up a wall. She very much wears her emotion on her sleeves. It is merely obvious what she is feeling in any given moment. And so her face twists into very obvious worry and concern because of the direction they're heading in. And the realization that if there is this many people going on a rampage, there are no survivors in that village nearby. She doesn't need to go over there to check. She just knows. And so she's going to turn to the group with this sort of weighing heavily on her face. And she's going to say, this is no mere group of bandits. This is an army, and we need to hurry.
They would all look at you. Avarius would nod. And he would look to Eleanor and say, do you remember when we were growing up? It's nearby here. There's a thick patch of bramble, but we know the way. It's a bit of a shortcut to our village. Do you remember it? You think you can help us? You think you can navigate through it too? Well, maybe we can get ahead of them a bit?
I can lead on. Last time I was home, I helped Kiri learn how to move through it, so I'm still fairly familiar. We can use that. It should also be able to cover our tracks in case they have any scouts or anything lingering nearby to ensure nobody tries to stop them in their plans.
He nods. You see Healthier and Zaya give a nod of acknowledgement as well. I think you would see there's a moment when they start to follow Eleanor. You would see Zaya looks in the direction of where the smoke is coming from. And you see she has like a necklace that she's wearing. She pulls it up, holds it to her lips. And you hear her sing a light hymn. And then she tucks it back in her leather armor and starts to walk with the group. But yeah.
I'm sorry, Zaya. I wish we'd gotten this information sooner. But let's hope that we are fast enough to not only avenge your loss, but prevent more from happening.
We are the fastest.
That is true. I pity those who are at the end of our tracking.
And I think she's trying, I think you would know Zaya enough where she's trying to bring some levity into the situation, even though there's that deep sense of dread. And she gives like a little clap on Eleanor's shoulder and starts moving. with you. So you trek through the woods, moving across down trees until you reach this massive wall in front of you of all this twisting bramble. You see the thorns within it almost have this almost this like sickly yellow color. At the tip of the thorn is a green it turns to this greenish, bright greenish color. Mm-hmm. And as you look at the space, we're going to see how well this is going to go through here. So as you reach the bramble, you find the spot. It's something that it's just always growing and ever expanding. Mm-hmm. Occasionally some of the people from the village will come in and clear it out that know the way, but finding the opening and the right path, can be difficult sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, as you look here, it's going to be another instinct roll for me. And I'll say, I will give you advantage because you are from here on this. And I'll set the okay. DC right now. It's going to be this is going to be a 10, just a 10 DC.
Oh,
perfect. Yeah, not too bad.
Why did I decide to use, well, that moved as I was trying to look at it. So is it okay if I reroll? Because it moved?
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't care. It's all good.
Okay. So that is going to be, you said, instinct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
13, 14. And I'm so sorry. Remind me what I do again with advantage. Is that a
D4? A D6. It's a D6. Six. Yes, it's a okay. D6. Yeah.
I never roll with advantage, so I always forget which one
no,
it is.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, so in Daggerheart, everyone that's watching, advantage in this game is you get an additional D6. That can happen through... the GM giving it to you, certain abilities the character has, help from your companion, and then disadvantages, you also roll a D6, but you subtract it from your final total. But
So this is going to be a 13, 14, 15 with hope.
15 with hope. Make sure you give yourself another hope. So you should be up to 4 hope. So you find the spot within the bramble. What does it look like as... Eleanor essentially kind of looking at the space in front of you. It's been a while since you've seen this, but you remember recently, like you said, you showed Kiri how to navigate through it. How do you create a passage or create that spot for the rest of your cohort to move? And then what does it look like as you all weave through it?
I don't think it's cutting down the bramble, because if you cut down the bramble, it makes it obvious for where like other mm-hmm, people can mm-hmm. follow. Mm-hmm. It's more like taking her longbow and using it to sort of re-guide the bramble. So it kind of like shifts around, but as they like move away, it would probably fall back into place because plants are, they would move where you guide them to if you guide them there for long periods of time. But because their vines and their twigs are more like bones to them, even mm-hmm. if you guide them away for a moment, they would still fall back into their natural place. And so I think she sort of wordlessly, because again, she doesn't know if there's any scouts. She doesn't know if there's anybody near them. She kind of almost like does a signal with her hands for them to watch her. And mm-hmm. she takes her longbow and sort of just like holds it with one hand very gently, making sure that the only parts of her hand that could potentially be exposed to the bramble are covered in her archery gloves. And so whatever the actual term for them are. Mm-hmm. And so she's holding her longbow in a way that it almost shields her head and her body as she kind of crouches and does what could really be described as when superheroes are maneuvering through lasers in a secured room, sort of a mm-hmm. thing. She is down on the ground, sort of twisting and turning, finding the natural places where there are newer growth within the bramble because it is easier to move and easier to avoid the thorns that way, and just sort of guiding her little party through this. And I think too, there's almost a small indication of a man-made path in the sense that you can tell that there are footsteps and patterns of movement, whether it be animal or humanoid, that maybe do traverse this way quite often enough that there's a tiny little divot within the bramble that not only guides Elinor, but if the rest of her party are trailing a little bit behind, they wouldn't get so lost. They would be able to see the little, like, indent of years of wear and usage from those humanoids and animals.
Absolutely. Yeah, and as you follow that path, you create that enough of an opening where the group is able to get in. Avarius stays in the back just to make sure that everybody can get in before he slips in. As you all start to weave your way through the bramble, moving through the kind of young growth that is not as, it's a little bit more forgiving than some of this old bramble growth here that has been in the Whispering Woods for hundreds of years. As you work through, I'm going to say with also that level of success you had on that roll, there you start to hear the sound of footsteps. It does not sound as heavy as the footfalls that you did prior. I think in that moment you have that distinction between the two from earlier. As you reach the edge of the bramble, it's not too far to your village, and actually Avarius is where he grew up as well. So you reach the exit of that, and you would immediately start to see people. Humans, half-elves, young children. You would see some people injured, some processing the loss of loved ones, people carrying children, running in your direction. And as you reach the edge of the bramble, you would see that coming from, I would say, to your right mm-hmm. in this moment, as you see them coming out. And the rest of your group would be right behind you, waiting and saying, they'd say, Zaya would be like, are those people? Should be. And I think she would like start to like, as she sees people from mm-hmm. her community coming through, she would like try and start pushing through. What does Elinor do in that moment as you are leading the group in this moment here?
I think she's going to let Zaya go. Like, if Zaya mm-hmm. is immediately going to start looking, like, I'm not going to mm-hmm. deny her that. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, we're in a time crunch, but, like, we just witnessed, you know, the ruins and the aftermath of your village being destroyed. Like, if you need to see if your people are alive, you take that time, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also, like, she also would encroach with that sort of intensity, but not in checking for, you know, if specific people are around, but more anybody who is, I'm trying to find the right word, anybody who is aware enough to be able to tell us what happened, because obviously, like, a lot of these people are going to be in shock. A lot of them are children. A lot of them are probably injured. So mm-hmm. Elinor will sort of, you know, trudge forward, kind of indicating, like, as they move through the group, like, that person's injured, maybe go and help them. That mm-hmm. person needs, you know, something, go check on them, while she herself is looking for somebody who is alert enough to be able to give information in regards to what has happened here.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you look through this group, Avarius, Healthier, Zaya is starting to help as well. You see them pulling out different, like, pulling out some tinctures and giving people that are injured, trying to help heal some salves and things. They go out and just kind of start to aid, trying keeping people calm, taking them to the side and just assessing the situation. But as you weave through the groups of people, there's probably about 30 people amongst this cluster that have fled. And you would see this one individual, this elven woman, kind of almond colored hair. She's cut up a bit. She is wearing some like light armor. It looks like it was put on very quickly. She has some cuts and bruises, but she sees you and she kind of is like leading the people forward, and seeing you all come out of the bramble. She makes eye contact with Elinor in this moment.
It,
We have to, they're coming. We have to keep moving. There's another village ahead. And you just see, she's looking around, making sure she's got everybody accounted for. And
you've done as much as you can. Try and take a breath just to center yourself for a moment. You've done all that you can. We are going to help you as best as we can before we continue to move. Who were they?
It was... If I saw what I saw, they were wearing... their leader was wearing a symbol upon the crest. It was a head of a bear. I think it's the Grimwald army. The Lord was leading them. They destroyed everything. They burned our village. Something powered them that I... And she just looks at Eleanor, and there's just this almost disassociation as she's saying this to Eleanor. Something fueled them. I have not seen anything like that in my life. He drew his sword and it just ignited in this greenish flame. I don't know.
You are safe now. She's gonna look to her companions, kind of like watching them move mm-hmm. and work. Mm-hmm. If he is continuing to move down villages, your best bet is to go in the opposite direction. As far as I can tell, he's already made his way past here, he and his army. So for now, you are safe. I would suggest, and she's going to point back towards the direction that they had just come from, moving down that direction towards the settlements over there, inform them as to what has happened, and that you have received aid from me and my companions, and we should hopefully be able to meet you there with any other survivors that we come across, if we are able to. She hesitates as she realizes the gravity of the situation for herself, not just for Zaya now, but for herself and for Avarius. And she's going to say, we will meet you there with any survivors that we are able to from the next village. I understand this is asking a lot, and it is easy to give in to fear in moments like this. It is easy to want to run and hide and abandon the weak, the young, the unable. But they are going to look to you for strength. They are going to look to you for perseverance. And so any fear you may have, utilize it to work for you, not against you in this moment, and lead your people to safety.
You see, she nods. And I think in that moment, she just reaches her hand out and gives a little squeeze on Eleanor's wrist. And she says, I will. I'll do what you say. Thank you for your words. And she would look to her people and I think you would see Avarius, Althea, and Zaya look towards you, Eleanor, and you would hear the sound of heavy footsteps quickly approaching.
Other than the bramble, is there any other places for people to hide?
Go ahead. We'll say, all right. I will say, and I'll let you actually probably, let's see. I'll say make it instinct, and I will let you use your experience in this one too.
Yeah.
So we'll say, because you're familiar with this area, it's not gonna be a super high DC. We're gonna say a 10 here.
Okay.
There is, of course, the bramble. There's a lot of them to try and get in there right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a 20 on the die, plus instinct is 21, plus my catch me if you can't catch me now.
23.
Is a 23 with hope.
With hope. Nice. So give yourself another hope.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have like full hope by the end of this.
I know, you're just racking it up. Incredible. You would know, as you sit here and think, you hear the heavy footfalls quickly approaching. Nearby, to the northwest of this location, there is a riverway. And it's a very small river. It's easy to ford. As long as the few children that are with them, they put them on their shoulders, they should be able to pass across the river. Mm-hmm. And there is, in that space, there are, because you're next to the Rindersano Alps, the mountain range. Mm-hmm. There are a collection of caves nearby that they're very much like labyrinths within. People have mined through them for minerals and various things like that. You would know just across that river, a short distance from there, there are plenty of caves that these people can hide in and hunker down until... Okay. The coast is clear. Only people of this area truly know about.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I think hearing those footsteps, like her, for lack of a better term, it's like a hunting dog hearing a quail or a duck or something. Like her head snaps up. She kind of like takes in the sounds, the sights, and then she turns to Zaya. Mm-hmm. And she'll quickly kind of like give out orders, like, Zaya, lead your people across the river and into the caves. The three of us will find a way to divert them from these people. You must ensure that anyone that has small children put those children on the shoulder. If they cannot swim, you must guide them across. And then she's going to turn to the other two. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. She'll say, can the two of you stealthily make your way? Which direction are the footsteps coming from?
So from where, so the people were coming from, if I'm remembering what I said, so they were coming from the left. They're coming from the east at this point.
Okay.
From the right. So it's, yeah, from the east. Yeah, they're coming from the east.
They're coming from the east. Okay. So then she will go ahead and she'll turn to the other two and she'll go, the two of you continue towards the village going westbound. I will try to make my way east and lead them away as fast as I can, for as long as I can, away from the village.
Okay. Ooh. Zaya would nod to Eleanor, and you would see she would grab from her pack rope and she would start tying it around a bow or around an arrow. And she would look to the young elven woman that you spoke with, and she would remember her name. She's like, Faye, I need you to lead ahead. I'll take up the rear. When you get to the river, I'll shoot an arrow across at one of the trees on the side that should hold, and we'll use that as a guide across, and then we'll drop the rope afterwards so that no one else can follow us. And I think they would all nod, they would start moving. Zaya would walk up to Eleanor, and I think she would hug her. And in that moment, that kind of jokester that she can be sometimes, even though she's a serious person, she has those moments where she can be fun, and that serious look comes on her face that is often there. And I think she hugs Eleanor and like rests her forehead against hers and just says, be safe
always.
And then she like claps her on the cheek and then runs off with the group. And then Avarius and Healthier, they turn around as everybody starts to run off, the footsteps growing louder. You see Healthier, he also has, has a quarter staff, but there's an emerald stone on the top of it. You see him put his hand on top of the emerald stone, and you start to see Dwimmer starting to swirl around it as the stone expands out into almost this great hammer, and you see vines twisting around and like beetles flying around it. And he holds it there. And Avarius nods him, looks at Eleanor, and would say, "I'm not leaving you right now. Are you sure you feel confident? It's a lot of them."
Confident? No. Do I think this is going to work? Probably not, but it will get us enough time to get the people of the village out to join Zaya and the others. We need the two of you need to go forward so that way there's enough of you to protect them if I am unsuccessful in delaying them.
I'm gonna have you roll a presence check for me for.
Okay, it's fine.
That's okay. No, this is more just for just to build some stuff upon this. So,
okay,
yeah.
That is, okay. That is a 15 with fear.
Okay. He looks at you, says, "I trust you, and may the matron watch over us." And he turns, and him and Healthier take off. But there is this lingering, as they run away, as they take off towards the village, there is this cool breeze that swiftly comes upon you and sends a little shiver down your spine, and there's this feeling of, you know, like a feeling when you know something bad is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
It's that kind of feeling, as this wave of maybe not fear necessarily, but there's something that is kind of lingering there, mm-hmm. as you see them run off. This sixth sense kind of tingle. But they head towards the village. You head to the east to try and give some time.
Because the last time I did something similar to this, it went so well. Mm-hmm. How close together are the tree branches, would you say?
Oh, pretty close. Like, these trees grow, they're very strange looking trees. So it's actually like the trunk, the tree, the branches of it probably don't start growing until about 25 feet up before
Ooh,
they
so
even.
So climbing them would be interesting.
Yeah, because you gotta, you know, you could do it. You could absolutely do it, but it's a thing. Like, it's a thing.
Would it be easier for me to hide in like the bushes and the bramble, or would it be easy, like, if I'm trying to conceal myself? Because my plan in this moment, mm-hmm. I think, is to start picking off enough of them that they notice and they start to look for me. Versus mm-hmm. like head on being like, "All right, let's go. Me versus 300, you know, let's do this." Mm-hmm. I can do this all day. It's more of like a strategically starting to pick enough of them off that they're like, "Okay, what is happening? We need to stop and we need to investigate." So would it be easier for me to do that from the trees? Or if I'm like, actually, because I want to be able to like move around. So I'm like, do I want to do that in the bushes and just like sneak, or do I want to do it in the trees and like hop around, you know, like Rue from the Hunger Games style?
Ooh.
Because again, the last time I jumped from one structure to another, it went well for me.
Yeah. I would say in this moment, as you kind of ponder the possibilities, I will say this. I think you grew up in the woods. You know how these trees work. I am not going to make you roll for climbing up these trees. I will, if you want to leap, I will have you make checks for those, but okay. I will say that I will give you advantage on them as you are, you are familiar with it. So I will say if you want to go that route, you'll just have to make, if you make a leap and try and kind of hide within the branches, in the canopy that does exist within this, I will absolutely let you do that. I would say that if you stay in the bramble, in the bushes, you'll have advantage on your attacks, but, I would give that additional bonus of your, one of your experiences, your, you can't catch me now for any like stealth checks. So there's a gamble to both. Each of them have benefits. And I'll throw this at you too. When you like leap from trees and kind of are hiding and moving quickly, if you're successful on the roll, if you beat the DC, I will then give you advantage on your attacks too. So like there's,
okay.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like I'm not even trying to kill all of them.
Right.
It's like maybe one or two, if an arrow misses, it's enough that they're still taking notice and thinking maybe they're under attack. So I think I will go the tree route.
Cause okay.
again, me and climbing and leaping on things goes so well every time.
Oh, it's so fun though. amazing. So as you do this, what does it look like as Eleanor scales these trees here?
She kind of gauges where they're at. I think what she's doing is she'll run and then stop to gauge, run, stop to gauge. And when she determines that she's close enough that her plan can start to work, she's actually going to take out two of her arrows. And a little bit like Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, while Nara's climbing the mountain style, she's going to use her arrows like they're pickaxes and begin climbing up the tree until she gets on a good steady branch that is stable enough to support her. And she'll sort of like kneel down, getting a good footing to where the grooves of her foot match the grooves of the branch. And she's going to take, she's going to put back the two arrows that she just used to climb, get out another arrow that would probably be a little bit sharper at this point. And she's just going to ready an action.
Okay. I love it so much. Okay. So you make it up the trees. And I will say, actually, now that like kind of, because when I describe the trees, they almost twist like serpents. So it's actually kind of, it's not super hard. And that's why I ended up saying like, you're able to move up them pretty easily because they do twist in a way that you're able to, and then kind of between the arrows. Yeah, it's no problem there. So you climb up, you would see approaching you is this army. You would see probably half of them are carrying shields and pikes. The other all wearing the kind of, as you looked closer, you would see that some of the shields do have that the head of the bear. And also too, you would see that there is, the bear itself almost looks like it's, their symbols change a little bit. The bear almost looks like it's like breathing like this green flame smoke, from its mouth. So you would see them kind of, moving through, but in the middle of them, you would see this hulking figure. They probably stand, it's a human man. He probably stands about 7'2". He's wearing heavy armor. He has this massive great sword on his back. He has a flowing dark blue cape behind him, kind of disheveled hair. But I think you would know that is Lord Grimwald. And as he approaches you.
Okay.
In this moment,
I am not gonna go directly for him because I feel like that's a little too obvious. I am going to target the guy closest to, like, the guy that is standing closest to him that is easiest for me to target, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So yeah, you're up in the trees. You're in a good spot. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and make an attack roll for me. And I will say this one, I will give you, you'll have advantage on it. So.
Alrighty, here we go with my longbow, which I use my agility for.
Mm-hmm.
That is, oh yes! That is
Did you crit
fives.
Again? Jesus,
crit again.
Oh my God. Holy shit. Damn, Eleanor is just tearing it up today.
I know.
Go ahead and roll those damage dice for me as you knock the arrow and let it rip.
So there's a 1d6 plus 3. So that is going to be 5 points of physical damage.
5 points of physical damage. Okay, amazing. So you see this figure that's standing next to Lord Grimwald. I guess, walk us through, what does it look like? Because we're seeing Eleanor shoot an arrow for the first time. Well, at least in the origin story we are. So what does it look like?
She sort of assesses the situation, sees them marching, and kind of like in her brain calculates, okay, the first thing she does is she calculates where the next branch is. Because if she is shooting somebody on his left, she then wants to move to be on his right. So the first thing she does is she calculates, okay, if I shoot this person, my best bet is to move to that branch, then to that branch. Because then, you know, maybe I'm a little bit behind them now, but if I move two branches down, then I'll be on the right and in front of them, giving the illusion of an ambush. Then from there, she kind of, I would say she uses her arrow to point to the next branch that she plans on going to, and then sort of diagonal back to the man that she is going to shoot. She pulls back the string. She takes a nice, big, calming, deep breath. And it's a little bit in slow motion as the breeze sort of like brushes her bangs in her face. They do get in her eyes a little bit, but she's so focused on him that it doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. And as she lets out that big deep breath, she lets out the bow and it just spirals perfectly right into kind of like the crick between his armor and his neck. And it gets right in between where his shoulder meets his neck. Yep.
Oh gosh. Okay. So as the arrow shoots down, it's silent. But you hear the kind of the shifting of armor as the arrow hits him, and that kind of immediate pain. He stumbles a bit, and you just hear. Ugh! And at that point, you see Lord Grimwald kind of go to make a. This is going to be a finesse roll for me. And I'll say you can use your catch me now on this. So you get a plus three to your roll.
Ooh, okay. That is a 16 with hope.
Oh, shoot. You're like, I think you're maxed out at hope right now.
Yay.
You are. You're maxed out at hope right now. So you go, and you would see, I think in that motion, as you're able to hide, amongst the branches in the leaves there, he looks up in this direction. You see his face is just heavily scarred, and I think in that same motion you would see him point to some of the people. He has archers with them, and they would start knocking arrows and kind of just looking around the space at this point. What does Eleanor do now? Since you rolled with hope, you are still in control right now.
All right, I am going to go ahead and I'm going to start making my way to that branch that is more to the right and forward of where they currently are standing.
Okay, amazing. Ooh, doggy. Ooh.
Okay, that is a...
Ooh, okay, so this I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that is a 19. Mm-hmm. The bad news... Oh, wait. I'm a liar. That's 21 because of my experience. Or am I using my experience now?
No, so you would actually, you have advantage. So you get to roll a D6.
Oh, right. Okay. Add. So that is a 19 plus So that is a 21 because I rolled a 2.
Okay.
But it's with fear.
With fear. Okay. Okay. You release the arrow. Same guy or a different person this time?
This time it's, now that I've moved, it's a guy kind of in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But this time I'm going for a different area to indicate different archers. So for this guy, guy, I'm kind of going for like right. You know how like with metal armor, typically there's like mm-hmm. a place where it kind of like the upper leg and the lower leg meet and there's still just like a little bit of softness right in that place in his knee.
Yep. Okie dokie. Go ahead and roll damage for me for him.
Okay. That I only got 4. That's only 4 points of damage.
That's okay. That's okay. That's still one. That's still one.
I'm not looking to kill them. I'm just looking to like stop them. You know, just so like slow them down.
Yeah, so as you hit him, Lord Grimwald, I think as you roll with fear, I'm gonna spotlight him in this moment as we focus our attention to Lord Grimwald, and he looks in the direction of where the arrow was fired, and you would see he just kind of moves through, like everybody else is kind of looking around. There's definitely, you've created this sense of like there's tension here. They're looking around, honestly surprised, because they've taken all these other small settlements with such ease that there is this, to be met with this kind of resistance, it's throwing them off a bit. But you see Lord Grimwald, he is unfazed. He walks, is just kind of weaving through people, just this maniacal look on his face. And I think he reaches the tree that Eleanor is at, and he just, or at least, I think with the fear roll, he goes and he grabs the tree, and you would see his gauntlet ignites with flame, and he just starts to burn that tree. And you just see it, just the flames start licking up it. Like these trees are pretty damp, but the flame does not seem to be stopped by this. Some unnatural force, just you see it flow out of his hand as it, and you would see for a moment his eyes kind of illuminate in that same color before they fade back to this kind of dark blue.
I am going to immediately, upon seeing this, hop to the next tree. Like, nope, I'm out. Peace.
Okay.
Like, no, thank you.
So I'm going to have you make another roll for me. We're kind of in quick movements right now. So this is going to be a finesse roll for me. Remember, you do have, I will say that you do have advantage on this, because I did say earlier that because you spent time doing this.
Okay. So that this roll is with hope, thank God. So that is, I can't do math. 21 plus my finesse is 22 plus my advantage is 2 more, so 24 with hope.
Damn.
Okay. I know.
This is amazing. So we watch, I like to let players describe kind of what it looks like as you see these flames starting to consume this tree. In that moment, what does it look like? What do we see Eleanor do as this is happening?
It's a small moment of panic, but it also is, as the panic sets in and her instincts and her adrenaline kick in more, she immediately sort of like hops over to the left, back over on the left. And she isn't going to knock an arrow this time, because she wants to wait to see if he thinks that the threat is neutralized. Mm-hmm. But on that too, as she sort of perches, it's kind of like almost like a cat really in the trees. This is also her now realizing, okay, I think I know the source of the fire. Mm-hmm. So if I can at least maybe try to get that gauntlet off, I can continue to delay them even more to this village. So As she watches the tree that she was just in sort of begin to burst into flame, she is going to jump as far away to the left as she possibly can to avoid it spreading over to that tree. And she's just going to wait and see what they're about to do. But she does have another arrow, like, loaded and ready.
Okay. All right. I think what's going to happen here is... as you do that, he is going to, from behind him, you're going to see this long great sword come out from the back. And as he holds it in his hands, you see him take that same gauntlet and just ignite the blade. And...
whoever you are, know that when we find you, we will make you watch as we burn the rest of these villages to the ground. Show yourself.
Can I shoot him in the eye?
Yeah, go for it. I'll say, I will say, because this is a specific, you're going for a specific area. So this guy, he's pretty heavily armored. Doesn't have a super high evasion. But I will say that you need to get this is going to be I'm going to say a 15. On okay. this one, because it's very, okay. very specific. Did you crit again?
No, close.
Okay.
So, again, good news, bad news. So, okay. cool. Let's see, my agility. So, that would be 23, 24, 25. Got a 25 to hit with fear, however.
Okay. Okay. Oh, this is good. Okay. You line up the shot, Eleanor. Walk us through this event, and then I'll build off of it.
She, upon him saying that, she's a sarcastic individual. She very much likes irony in a lot of ways. She finds that it can be a very good tool against enemies. And especially in scenarios like this, where she finds that her enemies maybe are a little bit too proud of themselves to sort of toy with their irony. And so she's going to pull back the string on her bow, and it's a lot more focused. She's there studying his movement, studying his head movement, watching him say this. And she's going to take another big, deep breath in, wait for his mouth to stop moving, and the second his head is still, she knocks the arrow right into his right eye.
Ooh. So. And you see his head go back as the arrow hits. He stumbles, which... is surprising considering how big of a man he is. Go ahead and roll damage for me on that.
That is going to be 6 points of damage.
Okay. All right. It hits him in the eye. And I think the arrow still poking out in this kind of the blood dripping down the right eye. In that moment to get that shot, to line that shot up, you expose yourself. And you see him with inhuman strength. He takes his great sword that is on fire and he throws it And it's going to go, he's going to throw it at the tree, like right below where you're at, to basically try and cut it off to cause you to fall down amongst all of them as they kind of surround that space. So I'm going to roll an attack. I'm going to roll an attack roll. It is a tree. if I roll above he's got a plus five to his attack. So if I roll above a five, I'll say it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't work. So I'm going to roll and see if I eat crow.
While you do that, if I may, could I use my ranger hope? A ranger's hope is spend three hope and increase my evasion by one until my next short rest, which I also want to pair that with my untouchable ability, which is while this card is in your loadout, add half of your agility score to your evasion, which would bring my 11 evasion up to a 13.
Hell yeah. Amazing. So yeah, you, I think as that, yeah, as the sword, he rolled a 17. So you see the sword fly in that direction, and it almost like it spins, and it's crazy because this is a massive sword that he just threw. He throws it, and you just see it spinning at the tree. It cuts the tree off, almost like if you were like cauterizing a wound. It just, and you feel yourself kind of fall back. There are other trees, but now you're going to be exposed to multiple people looking up at you to fire. So I'm going to let you choose in this moment what Eleanor would do. As you are falling, do you attempt to try and leap to another tree, or do you fall? We can roll for it.
I know what she's going to do. She's going to start to lean forward. So that way the tree doesn't lean backwards, it leans forward and potentially takes out a bunch of his guys. And right at the last second, she is going to leap out of the way so that way it doesn't crash into her and land probably on the ground, but like leaping in a way to minimize any damage to herself as she falls. Because I don't think... I think she knows that if she leans forward, she isn't going to be able to jump to another tree branch. So it's more, I'm going to lean forward as long as I possibly can before I have to jump and just like do what I can to not, you know, break my neck on the ground.
Hell yeah. I love this. So as you lean forward the tree and it falling down towards this group, I'll say as that happens, go ahead and make a this is going to be an agility roll for you this time. As you try to make, I'm just going to say DC 12 for this one.
Okay.
For difficulty, kind of to land on your feet.
That is a 20 with fear.
20 with fear. Okay. You land on your feet. You do not take any kind of falling damage. As it falls down, and you can build off this too. I'll say though, as it falls down, it's enough where it takes down like 15 guys based on the size of it. They get knocked down. They take a little bit of damage. It doesn't outright kill them, but it's like a big fly swatter. Pap. As you see a bunch of them fall, I'm actually going to make a roll for him. He gets hit by it. Big guy. You would see too, like as it's coming down, you would see the sword is back in his hand. Like he almost like summons it back to himself. But then he would look up and see you falling towards him, and it takes him down. And what does it look like as you land? Cause that just is dope as hell.
I feel like I have to do it because she is inspired by a couple of Marvel characters. Yes, she lands in that. She lands. She's a poser. She lands in the Black Widow pose.
Fuck yeah. Amazing. So as you land in the pose with fear, I'm going to, as he's knocked down, I'm going to spotlight the leader. I think he is going to pick himself up and look at Eleanor and I think there's this, as the arrow is still in his eyeball, He is going to look at you, and there's not necessarily anger on his face. I think it's more like a smugness to him as he kind of looks at, and he says,
"Ah, just a little inconvenience for now."
And he'll, I think he's going to charge towards Eleanor.
Okay.
And try an attack. So I'm gonna make an attack roll against. And I think he would, as he approaches, he would like wave off his, He wants to finish. He wants to finish this.
Listen, all I'm supposed to be is an inconvenience. I'm doing my job, man.
You're doing your job. Okay, so he's gonna make a roll against you. Your evasion right now is 13. That is a 19.
Dang.
So
okay.
Yep. He is going to, and when he hits you, he's actually not going to hit you with the blade right now. He's going to basically use like the butt end of the sword, and he's just going to smash you right in the face. Just,
okay.
Kind of like right in the, like right above the nose, kind of just ringing your head, kind of just trying to throw off your senses in this moment.
Okay.
That's 14 points.
Oh, that is my severe damage threshold. Okay. Cool, 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 cool.
Do you want to mark an armor to reduce that down to major?
No.
Okay.
Actually, no, I don't.
Okay. He strikes you. You just hear the bone. The blood kind of starting to immediately come out from your nostrils. A bit of ringing in your head. You have a moment to act. There are arrows trained on you, pikes kind of lower down, this group surrounding you, but they give space for this moment to not interfere with Lord Grimwald and you. So what does Eleanor do as you're struck with the butt end of the sword?
She definitely takes a couple steps back. Like her hands immediately going to her nose, and she kind of like sits there doubled over slightly for a second, kind of giving him a little bit of a little bit of like a ego boost just to make him feel better about himself. But after that moment, like to give him a sense of like, ha 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 ha, I am a big strong man against a 19-year-old girl. She's gonna start to laugh. And in this moment, her fingers are going to intertwine, and she's going to pop her nose back into place.
So dope.
And she's going to like flick the blood off of her hands, and she's going to go, "Oh, I'm an inconvenience, aren't I? Then it looks like I'm doing my job."
Oh, I think as you say that, he is going to step forward and look down towards you, kind of this mountain of a man, and says,
"You are quite a brave one, I will say, compared to the others that just cried as we struck them down. Why not join us? You would be useful."
"Because I bow to no tyrant."
It's too bad.
And he's going to swing. Yeah.
Could I potentially...
Yeah.
Could I potentially use quick reactions? It is a half-elf ancestry. I can mark a stress to take advantage on a reaction roll and use that as a way to maybe like dive out of the strike.
Yeah. So I think how this works is I'll roll his attack and then you just have to beat it.
Okay.
Okay. You're just gonna be the 13. He did hit your evasion. So
okay.
Yep. So this would be a dodge. So you're plus two.
Okay. So that is a, and then I get advantage. Oh, thank God, because at first I was not going to make it. Okay, so that is 8 plus 2 is 10, 17 with fear.
Oh, shit.
What does it look like? It was not looking good at first, and then I rolled a 6 on my d6, and I was like, okay, thank God.
Yeah, so like as you use that that part of you, this ability to kind of, this instinctual mode, this instinct that's within you to move out of the way, you see just kind of this big overhead swing basically coming down to strike you kind of down the shoulder across. What does it look like as Eleanor moves out of the way in this moment and kind of pivoting, taking control of the situation again?
It's like a really easy like somersault, like front tuck, because I think she's still down on the ground when she addresses him, just no longer in that pose, kind of in like a crouched position. And so when he swings the sword down, she waits until the last possible second and somersaults out of the way, hoping that his sword gets stuck in the earth. That it's like he goes down with such ferocity.
That,
thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, you're all good. You're all good.
That it gets stuck in the ground, and then she's going to knock another arrow and try to get it in his ribs.
Okay, go ahead and make that shot. Damn. Okay. And I will say it does stick in the ground in that moment, just in the mud.
That is, let's see, I don't think this is gonna hit. That is going to be a 13 to hit.
Okay, that does hit him. He doesn't have super
vibes.
High. Yeah, that does hit him. Yep. Yeah.
That is gonna be 8 points of damage.
Ooh, okay. So just, okay. So you shoot him, and you said you shot him in the leg, right?
The ribs.
The ribs. Sorry. You shoot him in the ribs. You see a little bit of exposed kind of like right underneath as he kind of is trying to pull up his greatsword, which he does. But in that moment, he exposes his rib, that kind of part of the armor that exposes an opportunity to shoot into flesh, into his rib. The arrow strikes. You kind of hear that just like wet pierce through. And his hair kind of moves over his face, and you just see this grin, and he says,
tired of your games.
And he raises his hand up. And as he raises his hand up, you start to see other archers raising their arrows to you. But as they do, you hear, you see other arrows coming in. And you see some of his men drop as you, and spells kind of coming in as some people are moving, some other kind of people hidden about are striking in this moment. Some other forces that have come from a neighboring village in this moment. So you have a time to react kind of as they start to go and like trying to get in front of him right now and starting to kind of flank out to see where this is happening from.
As this sort of happens, it does take her by surprise. Like, she was not expecting this, and it is a little bit obvious that this is surprising to her, to the point where I think even he can tell. And so she is going to stand, and she's going to knock another arrow, but she's not going to shoot it at him. She's just going to hold it at his head and say, "This is your last chance to turn around and head back the way you came."
Oh, God. He looks, I think he looks at Eleanor with almost respect. I think you would see a little bit of respect in this guy's face. from the Lord Grimwald, and he is going to step forward closer, and he says, go ahead, strike me down. It's been done before, and I'm still here.
What do you mean by that? Yeah, that's gonna throw her off as much as it's gonna throw me off. I think for the first time since she started this charade of hers, her hands shake a little bit as she like holds her arrow. And she looks at him very confused. And I think it is enough to still her hand for a moment. Mm. As she kind of like calculates what exactly that means.
I think as you still your hand, there's this heavy presence that you feel around just you and him. Probably it's just in this small area. Sound starts to almost have this echo-like feel to it, almost like you're in a tunnel. And you see this darkness, this twilight enveloping him. And you see within this darkness that's behind him all hundreds of these like beady white eyes looking at you. And in that moment, you see kind of almost, it happens almost in an instant. Like I always think about like when Jack Sparrow is looking through the compass and then Davy Jones is right there.
Yeah.
You see this like this version of him that looks undead, like the skin is just kind of falling off his face, and he takes that gauntlet that was flaming and just grabs Eleanor by the throat and just lifts her up. And
can I use a reaction?
Yeah, you can.
I think you know what I'm going to do here.
Okay.
As he lifts her up, she's like clawing at his mm-hmm. hands, trying to like break it open. And I think mm-hmm. she's able to, just for a moment, like wedge her fingers between his thumb and his forefinger, his pointer finger, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. enough to open her mouth and clear her airways. And it's last moment of desperation, probably something that she's read a lot about but hasn't mm-hmm. ever done in practice. It, like that thing that a lot of people do in cases where adrenaline is just coursing through their veins. They don't actually have time to think. It's purely reaction. And she just takes a big breath, and it's kind of like Canary, Black Canary from DC. And she mm-hmm. just lets out this huge scream mm-hmm. that is magical, just mm-hmm. as a way to sort of throw him off of her, or at least like startle him enough to drop her.
Amazing. So as you this energy releases from you, these years of learning about how magic works within the realms of Atalantia, how Dwemer can be melded in different ways, as that energy is released from you, this sonic boom-like effect, the grip releases, he is thrown back. You see other of these soldiers tossed to the side. Eleanor, you get thrown back from this pulse of energy that is released from you, and you, as you're flying back, you feel yourself hit into a tree, and you're falling down towards the ground. And like as your kind of consciousness is fading away, you would see Avarius Healthier fighting with some of the soldiers here, and you would see your father, Boreas, like look over at you as you hit the ground and you black out. And that is, I think, where we're going to end this origin story on that note. Yeah. Yeah, that feels good. That feels like a good spot.
Yeah, it feels like such a great spot. Especially, yeah. Is this coming out before or after our first episode?
I kind of, you know, I'm thinking about it. We'll see, viewers, when you get to see this. It could come out before. It might come out after. I think that will be something that Dakota and I will ultimately decide on that. So,
okay.
So we'll leave it there. So maybe, like I said, maybe you're seeing this before the season even starts, or maybe it's a little bit after. But it will be, regardless, it will be within the first. It'll be right off the bat, I'm feeling, okay, for this one. Okay. So. But with that said, thank you for joining us for our origin story here for Eleanor. We plan to release some more of these in the future. This is just the first of what we hope is to be many, for this little bonus content to look back at our characters here in Daggerheart, The Last Arcanist. So until next time, we will see you in the realms of Adelantia. I had to think about what I'm going to say. I used to say in the wastelands, but now I got to think of something else. But for now, that's what
we're
going with.
Gotta come up with something else.
I'll come up with something better. But yeah, until next time, thank you all. We'll see you later.
Bye.